Welcome to episode 19 of the Conversations on Death podcast. My name is Lorena, and I'm your host for the Conversations on Death podcast. Death is the one thing we all have in common, yet it's one of the most taboo subjects in our culture. So I invite you, dear deathling, to join my guests and I as we dive deep into everything death-related, and in the process, learn about the many lessons death has to teach us, the living. Hey guys, welcome back. Today I talked to Karen, who is the author of How Dr. Wayne Dyer Taught Me That Life is Worth Living. So in this episode, we hear about Karen's story and what happened when she received some really horrible news about her children and some serious health issues that they were having and how that caused her to lose her faith. But then she ran into Dr. Wayne Dyer's work, and after that she started experiencing miracles and signs from him. And so this is about her journey and how all of that changed her view on life and life after death as well. We connected through a mutual friend, Kathy Bird. I mean, I don't know if she considers me her friend, but I do because she was awesome. If you haven't listened to her episode, it's a few episodes back. The episode is called Mom, I Was Lou Gehrig. Not going to tell you too much about it, but I just wanted to say how we knew each other. Kathy recommended Karen to me, and here we are today hearing her story. So hope you guys enjoy it. Have a great week. All right, Karen, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure. So I wanted to get started and ask you what your beliefs were about the afterlife before you encountered all of this, and kind of growing up, what your beliefs, your religious beliefs were.
Sure. My beliefs were pretty limited, but I grew up, I was baptized in the Roman Catholic faith, and I attended 12 years of Roman Catholic parochial school. So that includes all of my grammar school and all of my high school. I was taught God, made the world. I was taught the Adam and Eve version of the Bible. I was taught man has original sin. I was taught about Christ. And then I was taught that, you know, when we die, we do have a soul. The soul leaves the body, and that there's three places though you could go. You can go to heaven, hell, or purgatory. Because Catholics believe that for imperfect people on earth that that are not really, really bad, you know, hell is reserved for people who basically reject God. I mean, I wasn't really afraid of hell so much, but that we were taught about purgatory, and that is a place to get ready to be kind of cleansed and get ready to see God. And most Catholics, they have confession. It's a pretty rigorous religion for those who know about it. And they really want you to go like once a month to confession. And they always tell you, you don't want to have like a mortal soul or a mortal sin that you have committed against someone on your soul. Like say you get a plane crash. And so that like kind of scared me, because does that mean I go to purgatory or hell? So I used to go to confession regularly, but I had a real, like a rigorous and a pretty strong belief that that was the way it was. I mean, and there was just no other belief I had. That was the way it was. And that's what I was taught growing up.
Okay. Yeah. I think most people, well, not most people, but I guess in the United States, I think that's what most people believe. And let's then get into, you know, kind of your story and what changed your beliefs around that. Wherever you want to start.
Sure. So I grew up, like I said, a pretty strict Roman Catholic, and I believed in all of that. And in fact, my parents were particularly religious because in the Roman Catholic belief, there's a big belief in the Blessed Mother. As the Mother of God, we pray the rosary to her. She's very much emphasized in our religion. And so I don't know, for people who know about it, in the Catholic Church, there's some miracles they believed happened. Like in the 1920s, they believe in Fatima, a miracle where the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to children in Portugal. And they believe in Lourdes, that Saint Bernadette Labouré saw the Blessed Mother in the 1800s and that there's healing waters in Lourdes. And then a really odd thing is in a modern day times in the 1980s, they believe the Blessed Mother appeared to six children in Medjugorje, which was a communist country located in Yugoslavia, which is now known as Croatia. So I was very into all of those kind of supernatural miracles. And I went on a lot of pilgrimages to those holy sites with my parents. And so I followed along and I had a lot of faith in definitely a God and a higher power creating us. But in life, through a series of events, my children, when I got to be in my 30s, I had a real dark time in my life. In 2011, my two children were diagnosed with very severe developmental and physical disabilities, a mere 3 days apart. My son was diagnosed with autism, and my daughter was diagnosed with a hearing defect. They did not know if she would hear. She was 80% speech delayed. They didn't know if her cochlear bone was just damaged and that she would have to be permanently learning sign language. And all of this came literally within 3 days. My whole world fell apart, and I had to get all kinds of therapies for my children. I took my son to Mayo Clinic. Luckily, my daughter, the hearing problem was resolved with an audiologist, but she had to learn how to speak from scratch. And but that began my, I guess I would say, I just started, my spirits started to sink, and I started to lose all that belief that I was born and raised with. And I became to a place of despair. And what it turned out at first, I said, why did God do this to me? Am I cursed? Did I do something wrong? Does God not love me? Why did my only two children, why would he let this happen? And I'm an attorney. I'll give you a little background. So I did trial law and I did trials. So to have a daughter that could not speak and that we didn't know if she would learn to speak, to me was like the worst curse I could experience. And so just to summarize it, I went from thinking God was angry and punishing me, and I got more and more depressed. And then I just started reading the Bible, and I just started to say, is there really a God? Is there an eternal life? Is there an afterlife? Because I'm so sad about this. And the more I intellectualized and I read the Old Testament and the New Testament, they conflicted with each other. And the more I try to intellectualize it, because I got out of my heart, I got into my intellect, I just said, you know what? I'm atheist. I just basically didn't believe God. And I was in a very dark, depressed place because once you don't believe in those kind of deep things, it doesn't give you a lot of hope. So I was in a very, very dark place in my life.
Right. Especially since you grew up and believing that your entire life, it was almost like a part of you. So
yeah,
suddenly, and I think the worst kind of, journey to not believing and becoming atheist is using your intellect, and because then you can't really go back, you know. It's not like a feeling you have, it doesn't exist. You're like, no, like with me thinking about this, it just doesn't seem possible. Plus with all the things that were happening, you know, with your kids and stuff, that makes sense. And I know your husband Chris, you know, went through this with you as well. What was his reaction when he found out about your kids?
My husband, with my son, he was trying to be calm. And he said, let's just be calm. With the autism diagnosis, we don't know everything yet. I was seeing the worst. But 3 days later, he was there when my daughter got diagnosed with the 80% speech delay, because I went to work and I didn't know how bad her speech delay was. And I didn't know anything about the hearing. I just knew that she was a little bit delayed in speech, but they told me, the pediatrician said, her brother probably does all the talking. He's the older brother. I don't think you have much to worry about, but you know, for the heck of it, have a speech development therapist come into your home from the state to assess your daughter. So I was so worried about my son that day. I went to work, worried about my son, not at all even worried about her. I thought that she was just a little bit behind. And my husband called me and he was sobbing. And my husband, that was the first time I heard him cry. He's an airplane pilot and mechanic. He's a very strong, steady, very butch guy, a manly man. And he couldn't get the words out. And then he finally said, Isabella, had been diagnosed with an 80% speech delay, and we realized she had serious issues too. And I hung up the phone and I went out in the parking lot at my work. I'll never forget that day. And I just, my spirit sank, and I just walked around the parking lot, and I just felt like, why me, God? You know, why two terrible things? About my husband, you asked how he took it. He was sad, but he really wanted to do all the developmental therapies with me. He was supportive in that way. He agreed that we should go to Mayo Clinic. He helped me make the appointments. He went to every appointment with me. But his faith, he always said it's out of our hands. It's in God's hands. And so he didn't really lose faith. So he handled it different than me.
What do you think the difference was of him, you know, not losing faith, but you losing it? You've ever thought about
this?
I don't know.
I'm thinking about it now. And actually, I think there was two things going on. So with my husband, he has an opposite background. He was raised, his parents were Lutheran, but they divorced when he was young. And because of the divorce, there was kind of like a stigma on divorce back then. This was the 70s when they divorced. And so his mom, they kind of gave her a stigma because of the divorce. And she stopped taking him to the Lutheran church. So he grew up with basically no organized religion. And then when I dated him, I started bringing him to the Catholic church. And he really loved the music, especially the music and the mass. He really, there was something that spiritually, like, he loved it. And he loved it so much, he wanted to become Catholic before we got married. So while we dated, there was a priest that did this catechism and studied the Catholic Church with him over, like, a 10-month period. And he got confirmed and he entered the Catholic Church. He ended up being, like, so spiritual. Like, he wanted to read all these Catholic books even more than me. Like, he, like, there wasn't enough that he could not read. He enjoys even reading the catechism. And because he didn't have that and he lacked it, I think, once he got that religion, he was so strong that he would never miss a Sunday Mass. To this day, with the coronavirus, he will watch it on TV. He will not miss Mass. Like, he's devout Catholic. So that was the first thing. So I think since he had that spiritual awakening, and I took it for granted because I was Catholic and it was always there. And so I lose my faith because I think I'm just a cradle Catholic. And so maybe I took it for granted. He had a spiritual awakening. And then the second reason, I think I really truly do not think the disabilities hurt him as much. I am the mother, and there was a lot of guilt. And I would like to talk about that for mothers. Like, if anyone ever has a sick child or anyone with a developmental disability, for all mothers, never believe that you caused it during the pregnancy. But I literally had to go to some counseling for that. I literally thought there was something I did. And they did every genetic test, and they said there was nothing, Karen, that you did wrong. I led a perfect pregnancy. I didn't do drugs or smoke or drink. But there was a guilt inside me. And so as a mother, it hit me worse. And so I think I was more bitter on the inside. And they say, like, they always say that depression is anger turned inside out. So what I really was, and that's what I discovered through my spiritual journey, I wasn't sad. I was angry. So there's four stages of grief they talk about. I guess disbelief, anger. I'm missing the four because the last one is acceptance. Oh, there's disbelief.
Bargaining.
I think there's disbelief. Yeah. There's disbelief. I think in bargaining, mm-hmm. I think there's anger, then there's the genuine sadness, mm-hmm. and then there's acceptance. Mm-hmm. So my husband seemed to move through those four to acceptance. And so I mistakenly thought that I was in a state of sadness. So I thought I was, like, in the third one, like, trying to move. I was past disbelief, because once the doctors show you the testing, I mean, you can't doubt it, but I was in anger. But I acted nice to all my family friends, and I always said, oh, these are the therapies we're doing for my children, and I always try to be real strong because I wanted to present to the world that I was just, you know, Miss Can Do, and I was going to be the perfect mother, and I wanted to present that I'm a really strong mother, and I'm getting these therapies for my children. I didn't even let myself understand that I had anger inside me, and until I got to that deep place that I found I had anger and resentment inside me, I couldn't let the light in. And I think that's why I had the despondency. And that's why I think I became like an atheist. I think because I didn't know I had so much anger inside me.
What made you realize that you did?
So through there was a recollection. This was about 3 years before 2015. I knew I wasn't myself, and it was New Year's Eve. And I, you know, we make what they call New Year's resolutions. And I knew I was not in the right place mentally. And so I had known about Dr. Wayne Dyer. He's an inspirational author and speaker. He was on PBS. But how I knew about him is my husband introduced me to some of his books when we were dating. The great thing about him was I thought they were real inspirational books. I thought, oh, he's a great writer. But ironically, I really didn't follow his PBS specials because my life was really going the way I liked it. And so I read him. I said, what a great writer. But we kind of had him sitting on our bookshelf. And I remembered him that night, that New Year's Eve. And I said, you know, I think I need some inspiration because I really am not myself. So my husband got the books out. And then I just started to, like, after I read his books, I wanted to know everything about Dr. Wayne Dyer. I wanted every PBS special I would order from Hay House, all the videos of presentations, retreats he gave, every speech that I could find on the internet. And then I started meditating, and that's when things really changed. And when I say meditating, I was doing two of his meditations twice a day, so up to 2 hours of meditation a day. And I started softening through his speeches because he's a very soft speaker. But and then the real miracles came in 2015. As a lot of people know, Dr. Wayne Dyer, unexpectedly, and we're on the anniversary, he had a heart attack in Maui on August 30th of 2015. And because I was so into him, reading his books every day, watching his speeches, doing meditation with his guided meditation, I felt like he was with me. I was so devastated when he passed away. I didn't realize how devoted I was to him without even meeting him. And after he passed away, you know, I still continued to meditate, and I asked for a sign from him that there was an afterlife, and he gave me a sign, and he proved to me there is an afterlife, and that's when I really understood that I was being healed of everything.
Why did you ask for a sign that there was an afterlife specifically out of all the other things you maybe could have asked for?
Because I believe that he's so inspirational. I know it's weird to say, but I actually had such an affection. When he passed away, I was crying like my best friend died, and I couldn't tell my boss at work. I could barely work the next day. I wrote on, this is so crazy, but I wrote on his obituary. My brother-in-law is a funeral director, and so I know that besides going to a funeral, there's online obituaries that you can write on nowadays. Mm-hmm. And so for Dr. Wayne Dyer, I know he's famous, and I'm not a family person. I couldn't send flowers to his memorial service, but I went online, and I wrote a passage in his funeral obituary, and it turned out a lot of people in the world were doing the same thing, so I wasn't that bizarre, but I mean, I felt that close to him. And I miss him so much. I just wanted to know that he was still out there, because he replaced, like, I had priests that I grew up with, and I had a lot of nuns. I went to Catholic high school. I had a lot of religious influence. But since I had lost all of that faith, especially faith even in the Catholic Church, he became my inspiration. And I wanted to hear directly from him. It was really important to me that he still existed, because I just knew there was something special about him. And, you know, I just felt that much affection for him.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting, going back to what you said, when you kind of reached for his book, you thought of him during Christmas, right? I think yes. That when those moments happen, it's so fascinating to me, because it's like a fork in the road. Like, what if you didn't think of him at the moment, you know, but you had that thought, and then look at all the stuff that happened afterwards. And here we are on a podcast, you know, it's crazy to look back and realize, you know, this.
Well, you're telling me something I didn't know, because when you think of it, this is so true. Like, it was, I mean, I remember the room I'm sitting in when we're interviewing, but it's the chair back there I sat in. It was New Year's Eve. My husband was working, and the kids, I take care of my kids. My husband works nights. And so I had a lot of free time and I knew I had to change my, you know, make a New Year's resolution. But there are so many inspirational speakers. Like everybody knows Tony Robbins is one. And mm-hmm. I love Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do. But Dr. Wayne Dyer, like it just, his name came to me. And when you got to ask yourself, why is it I had put his books away for like 13 years? Why did that name come to me? It's not like I had just seen something on TV. So that was a fork in the road, but it must have been predestined because I certainly never knew these miracles would happen. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Why him? But I really did. He really did come to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I read in the book that you mentioned, he always said like, there are no coincidences. Is that right?
So he always said that
ties together.
And he talked about synchronicities. He always said that, like a coincidence means two angles intersect perfectly. And so if two things intersect perfectly, that is the opposite of a coincidence. That means that's fate. That's fate. So he believed there are no coincidences.
Mm, interesting. I'd like to touch more on that later on in the episode, but I want to hear more about, you know, how these examples of him, of there being an afterlife manifested in your life.
Okay. So, you know, so definitely I kept my meditating up. I wrote on his obituary site and I could not stop thinking about Dr. Wayne Dyer, and he showed me he was with me. So literally he died August 30th and on September 5th, I had to go on a business trip. This is not even a week later, to Detroit, Michigan, to settle a wrongful death case, which was a highly charged case. A poor woman was a pedestrian and she was struck by actually a very altruistic, like a small truck that was delivering food for the poor and needy. And it was just a very bad accident. And it was a very altruistic, a non-for-profit entity. But her family was so angry about her death, they wanted like $15 million. And it was way more than the I worked for an insurance company, and we have to assess the value. And not that you can ever put a value on life. Of course you can't. But the family, it was just like we never got settlement demands that high. And for unknown reasons, the case, we mediated it three times. It wouldn't settle. So it was going to trial. And I really realized we are in the jury's hands. And people may not know a lot about juries, but to let them know, Detroit, Michigan, it's like one of the most liberal jury pools. In other words, they really get big verdicts there. And my lawyer was even saying, Karen, we got to get this case settled, because if we put it in the jury's hands, if they feel sympathy, they could pick any number out of the sky. And so I was very nervous, but I also had to do what my employer told me. So I started invoking Wayne Dyer, and I said, you have to help me. And I felt him. And I was walking in downtown Detroit. I'll never forget it. It brings tears to my eyes. It was a lunch break. And I walked down a street, and it was St. Germain, Germain Street. Well, Dr. Wayne Dyer had a very profound belief in St. Germain. He is a saint from the book of Course of Miracles that Dr. Wayne Dyer studied. And so a lot of New Thought authors will talk about St. Germain. And so I see that, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. And so I said, Dr. Wayne Dyer, I know you're with me. I would just talk to him in my mind. I said, how do I get this case settled? Because I don't want to put it in the jury's hands, and I just want this case to settle. This is making me nervous, and I'm supposed to be the calm one because I'm, you know, for the company. And I didn't want anybody to know on the other side that I was scared, because then they'd really ask for a lot of money. And so he said, this family, I felt him speak to me. And he said, this family is very upset for the unexpected death of their grandmother and their mother. It's both the grandchildren and the children. And he said, they're just really sad. It was really an unexpected death. There was no alcohol, no drugs. It was a total accident, but they haven't gone into acceptance. He was explaining to me, and the money, they didn't want the money, because one of them was a well-known physician in the community. They don't even need money. He said, it's just, they have not faced the acceptance. They loved her so much. And so he said to me, send that family love and keep sending them love from your heart, and that case will settle. So I kept sending them love, and the case, the judge kept saying, let's keep talking about, we'll pick a jury, and then we'll try to settle it again. Because he tried to settle it. He couldn't get it settled. Then we picked a jury. So we're getting closer now to like opening statements. And then he goes, let's try to settle it again. So the judge was being very facilitative because he could see this was a dichotomy. And judges kind of like cases to settle because it makes them nervous. And the family started softening. I kept sending them love. They kept all of a sudden the numbers started going down. And I worked the whole day at it. And finally, like toward the end of the day, I went out and just sat on a bench outside the courtroom. And I said, Dr. Wayne Dyer, what's going to happen? This is making me so nervous. And he goes, this case is going to settle. And all of a sudden, the defense counsel met with the plaintiff's attorney and he came over to me and he says, they're going to take your last offer. He says, they're all of a sudden they're getting scared of the trial. And the best part that I want to tell everybody about the story was not only was I happy that the case settled, and it settled within me hearing, you know, Dr. Wayne Dyer saying the case is going to settle. The greatest thing happened, this family that was there at that trial that lost their grandma and their mother, my driver was a nervous wreck because she would have to testify, and she felt horrified that she had killed this woman and struck this woman in the auto accident. She even told me she was going for counseling because she was the one, I was sitting at her side of the table in the courtroom. She went up to the family, I thought took guts, because then things had softened. And she said, I'm so sorry that your mother and grandmother that I struck her, I really did not see her. It was a dark, rainy day. It was a total accident. And I've never stopped thinking about them. And they said, we forgive you. And they hugged her. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? If you want to cap it off, I was so relieved it all settled. I cried when I saw that happen. My defense counsel, we shook hands. And, you know, I called my company. My company was very happy it settled. I went out to my car, and I had parked in downtown Detroit in a parking lot, and next to my car, it says, there's a bumper sticker with the car next to my rental car, and it says Wayne State University. Well, Dr. Wayne Dyer went to undergraduate at Wayne State University, and he went to graduate school at Wayne State University because he was from Detroit, Michigan originally, and he donated several million dollars to Wayne State University because he loves that university. That's where he got his doctorate. So I felt Dr. Wayne Dyer was with me, and he gave me that bumper sticker like, see, Karen, I'm with you.
It was me. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was just the beginning of miracles. That's how profound it was, though. I mean, these are like real signs.
Yeah. So, and you're having almost like back and forth conversation with him, you feel like.
Yes. He was directing me what to do.
And
I will tell you that I've settled many cases and wrongful death cases. I've never seen one. Usually they're very angry and they don't even want the driver, like in a car accident, they don't want them at the mediation or they don't want to even see them because they will settle the case. This was the first time I ever saw a family a loved one that died hug the driver that committed it. Like there was this forgiveness, and I felt like Dr. Wayne Dyer wanted me to see the true meaning of life. Mm-hmm. So it was not about a business dealing going right. It wasn't about me getting the case settled for a certain number. I want everybody to know that it had nothing to do with my career. I knew this was divine intercession. It was definitely an intervention, but it was a sign to me of something deeper and something greater at large. Like they say, somebody else is moving the pieces. And it was so profound because in my whole career, I've never seen the forgiveness was just, it made me cry. And my lawyer said, my God, they're hugging now. And it was such a highly contested case that they wanted millions and millions, and they were so angry.
Right.
So I believe that what he said about sending the family love, that whatever I was doing and whatever the universe, I think, you know, maybe there were other people, it was working and softening the family up.
Wow. And so was this the first time that you were like, wow, this is, it's not me imagining things. This is him. And did you ever think maybe it was all in your head?
No, I knew before it was
this.
Him.
So like, before this, I mean, before that time, did you ever doubt it at all? Or you just felt his presence so strongly that there was absolutely no doubt in your mind?
I doubted the afterlife and different things, but I felt him so strongly that I definitely felt he interceded. But I will say, after that happened, then I went back to my mundane life and I still meditated with him, and I didn't get signs every day. So it was kind of up and down. And there were other things that happened. Like I would think of him and I would see a white dove, or I would think of him and somebody would come by with a license plate with Wayne, or another thing would happen. Like I would think of him over those months. And then I would see Y81. And that's really profound, like on a license plate, because Dr. Wayne Dyer, he always had the two Y's in his name, Wayne and Dyer. Mm-hmm. So the Y's always kind of stuck out and reminded me of him. And he was into the Tao Te Ching, the Chinese book, some say the greatest book ever written. And he believed 81 meant that there was 8 is infinite and 1 is one infinite creator. So his favorite number was 81. He always said that in speeches. Mm. So I would see cars with Y81, and I would definitely feel that was a sign from him. But, you know, in between there would be doubt. And then when I finally knew his spirit was with me was one night I did get sad over Christmas. I got very happy at Christmas, but once all the decorations get taken down, I was feeling very sad after New Year's because it's a dark time where I live in the Midwest. It gets dark very early. And so I started to lose some of that excitement, and I started to lose some of my zeal. And so then I really wondered, is there a God or an afterlife? I think he's talking to me, but I just went to bed, and I started to think about my kids' problems again, and I got a little bit depressed because all the excitement of Christmas was over. And I looked, he has a book called Wishes Fulfilled, and it has his picture on it. And that particular book was by my bedside because I always was reading one of his books. And I looked at his book before I went to bed, and I said, you know, you always said in speeches there was an afterlife and that there is no end to our life. I think I felt miracles with you, but, you know, you're the one who knows everything. You have all the answers now. Wherever you're at, you have the answers. You gave those speeches. And I could believe in saints and angels. I was raised Catholic, but even that, I don't even trust anymore. I mean, I really trust you and your speeches. You had such a profound belief. So if you really are in the afterlife, and I want you to prove it to me. And then I turn my light off. Well, you would think that nothing would happen. But at 2:12 in the morning, I was in a dead sleep. And I woke up with suddenly. Nobody woke me up, not the dog, just woke up. And then I heard three words from Dr. Wayne Dyer, very loud and slow. Love is eternal. And I felt like a heat go through my body. I jumped out of my bed. I was not scared because I knew it was him. And he's a very peaceful man and nothing to be scared of. It wasn't like a ghost. I don't want anybody to think it was that. But it was his voice. And I'm all alone because my husband works nights. My kids are in their beds. They're safely tucked away. And I knew what I had requested the night before. So I knew that was him. But I got up and I walked to my office where I worked from home. And I wrote it down 2:12 a.m. Love is eternal. I wrote down the message. And you know, I sat there at my desk stunned. And I went to my bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror. And I even pinched myself to say, is this real? Oh, my God. He came with a message to me. He's really listening to me. So that is when my heart was forever changed, where I said, it's not even 100%. You know, there's like people who say, I believe in an afterlife. I would say, I know there is an afterlife. So now I know, I have knowledge. That's different than even belief. So that's how I went from atheist to now, I feel like I know there's an afterlife. I've made
right. From huge. Catholic to atheist to.
Yeah, to total believer. Yeah.
That's so amazing. And so during this whole time, how did your perception of like the issues with your kids change? Were you still really angry or did that?
No. Help? And so when I was meditating, I would get inspirations. And one thing I got an inspiration was that I needed to examine why it bothered me more than my husband, because I knew it bothered me more than my husband. And so I spent some time contemplating. I bought a journal because a lot of people, Dr. Wayne Dyer said it, and a lot of writers at Hay House, where he came from, they say to do journaling. It's real good for your soul. I did some journaling, and then I kept coming up with this word, resentment. And I'm like, why is that word? And so then I realized that I had like a resentment and anger So I started to realize, you know, I don't think that it was that I didn't believe in God, although I thought it was. I was just angry and resentful. I had never got past anger. So I wrote down all of my fears, which was crazy. I had, like, you know, 167 fears. I had a fear of almost everything. And then I had almost as many resentments. And yet I have a very blessed life. And I realized I have got to let all of this go. So writing all this down was therapeutic because it taught me I had these resentments. And I was just faking my smiles and I wasn't dealing with the inner core, what was in me. And you know what I did is I ripped up those resentments and I ripped up those fears. And I said out loud, I said, whoever you are, God, higher power, source, because I don't know, it's a spirit. I really don't know what God is. I think God is a spirit, but whatever you want to call it, source, I don't care what people call it. There's some creator of some kind. It's not a man on a cloud. I believe it's something so much higher than any of us could ever imagine. I just said, you know, source, whoever you are, I abandon all fear and I abandon all resentment. And I want to abandon that. And I want to live a life of joy. I don't want to be this person anymore. And so that was a real profound change in my life.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me feel good. I'd recommend anybody to do that, to journal.
Yes. Yeah. When I read that in your book, I was like, wow, I want her to talk about this because I think it's huge. It's powerful. I've never done it, but I would also recommend it. It sounds, especially once you're like, you know, you have it all on paper. I guess it's a different way of seeing things written down, almost like in a list format rather than just like thoughts in your head, you know.
Yes, you're right. It was the act of writing it down that made me, and it made me see that I had all of these fears. So I had way too much fear and I had way too much resentment. And then I did, you know, I start to realize I am more blessed than I say, but writing it down helped me see that I had it and I was holding on to it. And then ripping it up, like physically, helped me release it. So like, you know how they say like release doves when you get married or when people pass away, or really doing those physical things, I think is important. I think that it helps your subconscious and your mind.
Yeah. There's something behind these rituals that at face value it doesn't seem important, but there's something happening there. I've learned over time from people. And so with all these signs from him, were you sharing these with family and friends or were you kind of keeping it to yourself? So what was their reaction?
That's a great question because I shared it obviously with my husband. And then the only other people I shared it with was my mother and father. And so my husband, you know, he believed in it because he's the one who introduced me to Dr. Wayne Dyer. But he didn't encourage me or discourage me, I would say. He's very Catholic. He's very traditional Orthodox Catholic since his conversion, as I said. So he was kind of afraid, though, if I kept going with his spiritual teachings, with Dr. Wayne Dyer's spiritual teachings, that maybe I'd leave the Catholic faith. So I think he just kind of let me do what I wanted, I would say. But my mom and dad, they really encouraged me, especially my mom. She believed in miracles, and she said, you need to put this in a book, Karen. So I started writing the book. And I would start and I would stop. And then she would, every time she talked to me on the phone, if she'd check in, how is your book coming? Mom, I stopped writing, get back writing the book. So we kept going back and forth over a long time. But what basically happened, to really cut to the chase, is she encouraged me greatly. I had told nobody else and I told nobody that I was writing the book except my husband and my mom and dad. But what's really interesting is when it finally was getting edited, I said, I cannot come out with this story. This is so bizarre. People are going to think, okay, she's Catholic, and then she's following this great author and inspirational speaker, Dr. Wayne Dyer from PBS. So, you know, I thought they were going to kind of think I'm weird that I had such a passion and I felt such a fondness for him. So I thought they would think that was kind of weird. And they would, you know, I thought, well, it would be nice if I'm Catholic, if like the Blessed Mother appeared to me instead. But, you know, this is kind of weird because he's like a new thought writer and he believes like in all the religions. So I just thought people are going to really think this is weird. And then I had a reveal about my issues with God and faith. So I had to come forward and tell people that I basically became an atheist, because I did go to church all this time. I would like everybody to know. I would go to Sunday Mass with my family and just fake it. Especially because my husband turned Catholic kind of because of me, because he met me. So I didn't want to abandon him and not go to church. But I said, and then I had to tell the story about my children. And I said, how are they going to feel coming out with this? So I didn't share all the details of their physical disabilities. You know, I talk about it more if you have read the book, and when people read the book, more about my spiritual journey, because I want to save certain things about their medical for privacy. But I overall tell about their condition. But I let my husband read the book, and I said, if you're okay with me publishing this, I would like to publish this book. But you are my husband, and it is our family. It's very personal. You have to read it. So he did consent. But then this is the weird part I want to tell everybody. I then panicked at the last minute, and I literally wrote to the publisher, you know what? I have this great book, but I'm just too scared to publish it. Cancel the project. So they started calling me, and she said, you had all these miracles with Dr. Wayne Dyer. People, my editor was calling me, and I said, yeah, I'm just too scared. I mean, I wrote in an email, cancel the project. But you know what? They stopped calling me, and I kept feeling Dr. Wayne Dyer pushing me, and he was not going to let me go. And I felt him saying, you know, when I meditated, you got all these miracles that turned your whole life around from God, and you were so down, you were so desperate, you were so not believing in God. How could you not share this with the world? This, you know, this would not be right. And so then, within 60 days of canceling the project, I called the editor. Luckily, I had it still, you know, all on a hard drive. And I said, I'd like to proceed forward with the project. Yeah. So it was fearful, though, because I was disclosing a lot about my life.
Yeah. I mean,
there was a lot of fear.
Yeah. You're putting your life on a book for anyone and everyone to read and possibly judge you on. I mean, it's a scary thing to do, but
yes,
you did it.
Yeah.
So congrats. how long ago did you publish it?
So right at the end of 2019 was the original version of it. That was called How the Father of Motivation Taught Me Life is Worth Living. And that was because Dr. Wayne Dyer wrote like 46 books. So believe it or not, he was a famous author. His name was trademarked. Mm. You could not put his name in a book, because you can literally trademark if you're a famous author, just because people could use his name, and there could be another Wayne Dyer, and they could think it's him, and they would be, you know, trading on his celebrity and fame. And so I just used the Father of Motivations because he was known as that. But then at the end of January, I think like January 28th, it was republished, and that's kind of when I started promoting the book. But it's How Dr. Wayne Dyer Taught Me Life is Worth Living. Basically, his estate found out about my book. They read it, and they were so inspired. They gave me a special permission through lawyers to put his name in my book.
Oh, wow.
So that touched my heart. And the lady who dealt with, I didn't deal with the real high-level people, not his family. I mean, he's a very high-level celebrity. Obviously, he's a very important person. I dealt with somebody just associated with the estate. She was so fond of me and nice to me. She said, we are so happy to hear of miracles involving Dr. Wayne Dyer. And she was nothing but nice to me. And do you know, my lawyer said, well, are they going to, what's your financial arrangement? Because you're using his name. They can ask for royalties. And his estate and family did not want a single dime out of my book. They just wanted me to share the story of Dr. Wayne Dyer with the world. So they're very altruistic people, and they're not about money. They want to inspire people. So it's like his children are living out his message, the kindness that he's shown. They're just as good and gentle and kind people.
That's awesome. And there were other people, many other people, right, that experienced signs from him after he passed away, right?
Yes. Reed Tracy, who is the president and CEO of Hay House, he had gone on Facebook and said that people all over the world are receiving signs from Dr. Wayne Dyer. People were seeing butterflies, white feathers. They were just seeing rainbows. They were hearing his voice too. people who were in dark places in their life. And he said to please write in if you're experiencing these miracles. So before I wrote the book, I did write a letter to Reed Tracy all about the miracles. But, you know, even writing that letter, I kind of document that in my book. I was nervous writing, like, are they going to think I'm weird that I'm getting signs from somebody passed on to the other side? So I talk about that and how I go to the post office and I'm so nervous to post this letter, but it's just like everything. First, I felt it was weird posting on his obituary site. I felt it was weird, like posting an obituary to somebody I never met. Then it gradually grows. Then I write a letter to his best friend and publisher, Reed Tracy. Then I went to a writing workshop that Reed Tracy, he led it in Chicago. He happened to come to my town. And then I actually went up to him and gave him another letter. And I told him I'm writing a book about Dr. Wayne Dyer. So I kept coming out of my shell. And then finally I published the book. So it's like I took all these little baby steps. And but I know that he's showing signs all over the world. But, you know, maybe someday they'll get a book together of just all those signs. If one person could collect all those, I guess the best person would be Reed Tracy of Hay House, because that's where I think everybody writes about the miracles. And I think I can't even imagine what a beautiful book that might be.
Right. Yeah. I love what you said, like all these little baby steps that you took, because I think people just want, in general, like when they want to do things in life, they're the fear of like doing these little baby steps usually stops them, and then look at all the stuff they could have done. And then they live with regrets of, you know, what could have happened, what would have happened. And it's like, it's one of the things I hate seeing the most, people that live with regrets. And sometimes people don't even realize they have the regrets until they're about to die, which is worse.
It's funny you talk about, you give me chills when you say regrets, because one of the emails I got when I was writing that book, I would get an email, Dr. Wayne Dyer, if you belong to his, like he still has his own website, you know, that they kept up at Hay House. And so you can join it, but you give your email address. And then like once a month, they'll write to you about one of his books. And one of the things I got one day is a saying by Dr. Wayne Dyer from his, the automatic email. And it said, Dr. Wayne Dyer once said, you will never regret what you do not do in life. The only thing you will regret is what you don't do. And so when you're talking about regrets, that was a thing that kept spurring me on to write the book. Besides my mom, I definitely always remember that saying. And I, now that I've done it, I can tell you Dr. Wayne Dyer is right, because I think it's true. You're only going to regret what you didn't do. So tell that person you love them. Hug them. If you feel like you want to give somebody some extra money that has financial circumstances, or give that person on the streets money, because they look like they're in need, do it at that moment. Do what your heart tells you, because you'll only regret what you don't do. And you really won't regret what you do.
Yep, absolutely. I love that.
So, I was just going to say, it's the little things that we do, too, not just this book. It's like I said, help somebody on the street, give them a dollar. You never know, you might make their day.
Yes, I think that's key, because people think they have to do these grandiose things. It doesn't really have to be big, because any little thing can affect another person. You have no idea how you're affecting them, but it's in the small things too. It's not just big. Like writing a book. Okay. Yeah, that's huge. But it's also what you just said, giving someone a coin or a smile. Yeah. Really. I think that's like one of the most powerful things, just giving a stranger a smile walking down the street. There's been accounts of people, you know, who were gonna like kill themselves that day, but they got a smile from a stranger and then they changed their mind. So like, you have no idea how you're affecting other people ever.
Yeah that's true.
Yeah. So I know before we started recording, we kind of talked a little bit about reincarnation and what your beliefs were about that. I'd like to get into that. And also, I don't know if you've ever thought of a past life being somehow linked to Dr. Dyer, and that's why you're so connected to him now. Has that ever crossed your mind? Because it just crossed my mind, so I thought I'd bring it up to you and see what your thoughts are on it.
Yes. So what I believe, or how I have changed, is as I said, with the Catholic faith, it's a very stringent belief that, like I said, that there's a heaven, hell, and a purgatory. But the belief is, I think, in the Catholic faith, that when you are conceived, you know, so when you're in your mom's womb and the eggs and the sperm get together and the embryo is being created, that, you know, at that point or at some point, basically, that a soul gets put in the body, almost like your soul incepts from then, from that point. And then, you know, we always were taught you had a soul. But from Dr. Wayne Dyer's speeches, he always said that he knows he incarnated from the world of spirit. And he always said we are human, or we are not human beings having spiritual experiences, but we are actually spiritual beings having an earthly or a human experience. And he gave a speech where he said that when he incarnated, he believes that, you know, there is some kind of higher power, and he knew he had a destiny. And he said, I believe that I told the higher power, when I come to earth, I want to be a teacher. I want to teach self-reliance. I want to teach God realization. And I want to teach self-actualization, people to be their best selves, empower people. And then I want to teach spirituality. And by God, he did all of those things. And not only that, but he became the third most spiritually influential persons in the world. He was notably named on that list one year. He was only beaten out by the Dalai Lama. So when I heard that from Dr. Wayne Dyer, I recalibrated and I thought, you know what? If I'm a spirit having an earthly experience, the chances are I did not just come when I was conceived. I was born in the 70s. That's not when my spirit has been around forever. And so I do believe that I had an agreement with the higher power that I would come to earth, and that I think my family was pre-selected. And I think that I chose these children to have. I really believe that. I picked these kind of problems because I am a problem solver, and I did do a lot of therapy for them, and they have made great progress. I really don't talk about that in the book. That's a different, you know, mine is a spiritual journey, but there is a lot of good news on how they have made great progress. But I believe that what happened was it got just so dark. I think I bit off more than I could chew. And I think what basically happened was I thought I could probably handle this before I got to Earth, but when you have to really live it out, it's a different thing. And I think I got to such a state of despair that I think I needed extra help, and God sent Dr. Wayne Dyer into my life. I say it's kind of like the movie It's a Wonderful Life. George Bailey says, I just wish I was never born. And that's a great movie because the angel Clarence comes and shows him how life would be if he wasn't born. And then he really realizes he was meant to be there. And I believe that God sent Dr. Wayne Dyer kind of like an angel into my life. But if we truly are spirits, then obviously I knew who he was before we came to this life. And so I believe he has a book called Memories of Heaven. Little children remember being reincarnated. They come to earth, and they sometimes get reincarnated in the same family, and the children have memories, and they start to grow out of the memories. And I'll tell you a few things about my daughter, because she has had some memories of heaven. But yes. He said that. So I believe that all my memories of what happened, I don't know exactly what conversation I had with the higher power. I just, from Dr. Wayne Dyer's speeches, and that there'd be no accidents, I do believe I chose these difficulties, and I think maybe I chose to turn to Dr. Wayne Dyer and write a book, but I guess I'll only know that when I get to the other side. But I do believe that we lose our memories on Earth. So like when you say, do I have a past life with Dr. Wayne Dyer? That I don't know, because I've lost that memory. We have to kind of give up that memory. Some people have them, but you know, most of us give it up when we come here. So that I don't know, but just from reading his books, you know, maybe we really on the other side all know each other, which would be really cool. So that, you know, that's kind of gives you shivers.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So how would you, or how do you envision your writing impacting others?
So I would hope that what I want people to do is come to my writing with an open mind, because Dr. Wayne Dyer said, and I love when he said this, he said, have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing. So what I would love people to do is to come to my writing and just, you know, read this book with an open mind, whatever religion you come from, because I believe that religion is great. I come from the Catholic Church, and I still am a practicing Catholic, even though I meditate and I very strongly follow Dr. Wayne Dyer's spiritual teachings and his books. I do raise my children Roman Catholic. They're in a Roman Catholic parochial school. You can read New Thought literature. You can read Dr. Wayne Dyer's theories. You can read about Hinduism and reincarnation. that doesn't change anything. You can still practice your faith. And so what I want people to do is have an open mind and know that you're not abandoning your faith because you read books like these. I want to open people's minds and hearts. And if you have a pastor from a church or a priest or someone who scolds you and tells you not to read that, I just want you to know that they come from a place of fear, I believe. I don't think they're bad people. I think they're a little misguided. Maybe they're afraid that you'll leave the church and it's just fear. So remember that when people encourage you not to read something or to read different things about spirituality, that they just have fear. And I think that if you're really interested in that, that's your soul directing you. Because when it comes to spirituality, I think your soul and your spirit directs you. And you're not going to, if you really are interested in something, that interest will never go away. Obviously, there was something about Dr. Wayne Dyer that I had to get involved and I had to get very interested in him. And so I would encourage people of all faiths to have an open mind and read this book and don't think that, I don't think one religion is greater than another. I think that we came to Earth and I think that maybe we humans created these different religions when we got to Earth. And I think that we're all spirits made by God equally. And we're all equal of every race, color, and creed and religion. We're all absolutely equal in the eyes of God. And that he, we chose different religions, but nobody is better than the other. And so if they come with an open mind, maybe some of them may change some of their beliefs. And I just want them to know it's really all about love. Love is eternal. And if you come with an open mind and you take that message away, even if you don't get interested in Dr. Wayne Dyer, you don't have to read his books. But if you just see the journey my soul took, as you saw from reading it, how I went from such despair, I just hope it's a message of hope and that people walk away from that book being inspired and that they really have hope.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's so important to have an open mind. I think there's something to learn from every religion. I actually think it's all kind of referring to the same thing, the oneness or source or whatever the hell you want to call it, just different details surrounding it. But there's something to learn from all of them. I think it's important that people don't stick to one particular belief because you're missing out on a bunch of other awesome stuff to learn. So I wanted to ask you, I know in the book, one of the times you're on the road and you see a road sign that says there's more work to be done. And this is during the time you were kind of going through your journey of change. Do you still feel that applies to you now? And if so, what does it mean to you?
Oh, absolutely. So this, when I told you about the signs of Dr. Wayne Dyer, the white doves, the road signs, I would see the Wayne license plate. And I told you about the Wayne State University bumper sticker. I was meditating and I was profoundly, I would just notice things. And I saw that road sign, like I said, and it said, there is more work to be done. But it was like, it was really for construction, I believe. But the very next day when I went with my husband past that very same road sign, the there was still work to be done was completely erased. And I was journaling at the time and I wrote that down. I didn't really know what that meant, but I knew that was significant because my husband was with me and then I looked at it and it was gone. I'm like, but that was there yesterday. So I wrote it down and I was writing my book and I was journaling. But what really gives me goosebumps is the last chapter of my book was not even meant. I had finished my manuscript and I was feeling the distance of my time. I loved all the miracles with Dr. Wayne Dyer, but I was kind of feeling a sadness. And so that whole last chapter that appeared, I didn't even write it. But if you read the book, you'll kind of read it. I don't want to give away the whole story, but basically I was in not a dark place. I was just kind of missing the miracles with Dr. Wayne Dyer. And like writing the book to me, I felt like it was an ending. It's not an ending, but I kind of felt like it was a little bit of an ending because I felt like maybe he won't come to me anymore. I won't feel his spirit, I think. I was scared of losing him. And so I meditated and something told me to get out of my kitchen, get my car keys and my purse. And I got in a car. I didn't know where I was driving. And I ended up near a beautiful river in my community. It's a beautiful river with a park bench. It's called the Fox River. And I sat there. And, that's when I don't want to give the whole story away, but when I realized, I got a sign from another sign from Dr. Wayne Dyer, which I'll let people read my book, see that sign, but I got another definite sign from Dr. Wayne Dyer that he's with us. And all of a sudden in my heart, I realized I was writing this book. This book isn't about me. This book is about that there is no death. There is only life. There really is an afterlife. There is no such thing as death. And this is bigger than me. And guess what? I thought, I sometimes I call it my book, which I shouldn't. I think that's a mistake. This is a book of a higher power. And so I was so profoundly touched by that experience at that park bench that I literally went home and I typed that last chapter. And that's when it sank. There is still more work to be done. That road sign that's in the last chapter, I literally wrote that last chapter in 10 minutes straight. Would you believe that? It flowed out of me right after. And, yeah. And so I learned that last chapter was, it was like channel writing, they call it. I didn't write the last chapter. And then I realized this is not my book. And I will tell you, before this podcast, you know about the coronavirus and we had the pandemic going on. Right at the time of my book signings, I was very excited about the book. I had to shut them all down because all the restaurants closed. And so I got really sad. And so I got another like reminder about, you know, there's still work to be done, because I got real sad and I was talking to the higher power and I said, you know, you made me write this book. Now I can't share it with anybody. Everybody's shut down. This is a terrible time. You know, I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. And I meditated with Dr. Wayne Dyer. And you know what I got out of that meditation? I felt him say, this is not your book. This is Spirit's book. You don't own this book. It's not your book. It's from a higher power. And the higher power will decide who reads it, who gets it, when they'll read it. And you have no control over the marketing of this book and where it goes. You are just an instrument that you were meant to read this book. So I do believe there is still work to be done. I'm an instrument. I'm here just to tell my story, whether people believe me or don't. If it just touches them somehow and gives them hope or faith, you know, I'm not here to change your beliefs. If you're Catholic, I'm not here to tell you not to be Catholic, because I still, like I said, practice my religion. But when I think about that road sign, there is still more work to be done. And I believe that I do believe Dr. Wayne Dyer sees everything that's kind of happening from the other side. And I do believe he intercedes, and I think that he's kind of doing his work spiritually from another away. Now he's not on PBS on TV, but he's doing it from the side of Spirit. Right. And so I have no doubt that he knows about my book. Somehow he's in that, because, you know, I feel him communicating with me when I meditate. And so whatever work I can do to share that message, I want to share the message, love is eternal. And I believe there's still work to be done.
Well, I appreciate you sharing the message with us tonight.
Thank lovely. You.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. How can people get in touch with you and or get the book?
So you can find me. My book is on Amazon, but I also have a website where I sell the book, and that's www. And then it's Karen, and then it's McDonald, McDonnell, Hilligoss, Hilligoss.com. And on that website, I have, you can buy the book and you can also read blogs I do. I also have a Facebook author site, which is Karen McDonald Hilligoss at Facebook. And I share things that I'm doing. And then the final way you can find me is on YouTube. I have just started where I'm going to share Dr. Wayne Dyer's special messages and things about spirituality, and parts about how he affected my life. And I just started this YouTube channel, and it is called Motivation from Dr. Wayne Dyer. If you just type that in, Motivation from Dr. Wayne Dyer, actually some of Dr. Wayne Dyer's videos will pop up, and then you'll see me, and I have the introduction, and then I have my second one taped, but I only release them like every 3 weeks, because it takes me a long time to write up what I'm going to say, and I want them to be, you know, impactful, so they can look at the very first one is already out there. So awesome. I'm on the web and you'll find me.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And before I let you go, I'll ask you the two questions that I ask everyone. The first one is, if you were to die tomorrow, how would you like to be remembered?
So what I'd like everybody to remember, and I think like Dr. Wayne Dyer said so eloquently, I would like them to remember that, you know, that we are really just souls having an earthly experience, rather than the other way around. I would like to be remembered, people to just know that I'm really just a regular soul like all of us. And I just my story is that I chose to incarnate into this world. I think I chose this era as a wife and mother. I chose to face some severe challenges by having children with developmental disabilities that caused me to, have a what we call a crisis of faith. But that a higher power allowed me to experience miracles to restore my faith. And I believe that my mission is just to help others restore their faith in God, the divine, spirituality, whatever I can do to restore people's belief. And I want people to even believe just in themselves. Mm. Just love yourself. I want them to know that I came to earth and I really believe everybody, if we don't love ourselves first, we can't even give out love. Like they say, you can't give away what you don't have. So really love yourself first. You're a beautiful person, whoever you are out there, you're a beautiful soul.
Mm. That's powerful right there. And the second one is, if you were to compile all the knowledge and wisdom you've gained throughout your life into a message, what would that message be?
I would just say if I had to take everything I learned from my experiences, it would really be, I have learned that love is eternal, those three words. And so it was not my words, it was Dr. Wayne Dyer's words. So what that means is, it's really like the Beatles say, they say, all you need is love. That's one of my favorite Beatles songs. Love is what the whole universe is about. That's why we are all here on this human experiment. So there's just two things to really know in life. It's that all we were created to do is just to love. And the second thing I want people to know is that we are eternal. We are not here for 60 years or 50 years or 49 years. We're not here for a fixed time. We are infinite spirits. And so if you have love and you have eternity, what more do you need? Mm. That's, to me, that's the meaning of life. And that's pretty cool to me. So I am happy about what I've learned.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Thank you so much, Karen. That was beautiful. I appreciate you sharing your story.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, please make sure to subscribe. And if you'd like, leave a review on iTunes or wherever you consume your podcasts. It really helps spread the message. Also, if you'd like to connect with me, follow me on Instagram @conversationsondeath. And I will talk to you guys soon. Take care.